Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. Snapchat is not your ordinary social network. While it was originally the social network just for teens, more brands are adopting the platform. As a newcomer in a bustling social media landscape, it's easy for some people to get confused in comparison with more understood platforms like Facebook and Twitter. This episode will give you a clear understanding and action steps for growing your business with Snapchat. Today's guest is a Snapchat expert who is helping the world's largest brands figure out how to use the platform to generate more engagement around their content. BBC, NASDAQ, Universal, and Yelp are some of the top clients on today's expert's long list. She has also been featured in places like Forbes and Inc. magazine for her expertise in the rising social network. She also runs online classes that you can sign up for to learn how to maximize Snapchat. Today's guest for episode 108 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Virginia Salas Castillo. Virginia, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Mark. I am such a fan of all your work and just in so much admiration for everything that you do. So thank you for having me.
It is very exciting to have you on the show, and I do greatly appreciate you making the time available for this interview to happen. And I look forward to going really deep into Snapchat, but I'd love to get some backstory first. So can you please share with us why you started to use Snapchat and what got you into it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's an interesting story. I've actually been on YouTube for 11 years. So since I was a kid, I wanted to be a filmmaker and a writer and to create, basically. And so when YouTube came along, I was just like, wow, like a platform where I can just play and express myself. And so I was kind of creating content on YouTube just for myself, just for fun, to no avail. I still have like 2,500 followers on my YouTube. Like, I don't really create content there anymore. But like, I guess that's where my passion was, like the things that I wanted to do. And back then, I didn't realize that there would be a whole economy around that, and much less that that would be the future of where, you know, business and marketing would have their playgrounds. And so 3 years ago, I was kind of, I was working at an IT company called Oracle, and I started sort of deep diving into social media and what, you know, YouTubers, like, you know, getting paid and the whole industry around that. And it was actually, I mean, I guess probably the story of so many different people that are in social media. It was an interview by Gary Vee that I was listening to, where he was talking about, they were asking him to predict the next big platform. And he said, Snapchat, like Snapchat is the one that I'm watching. I'm an investor there. Like, and he started giving really good examples as to why they were so compatible for business, right? Because of that 24-hour format, you have that sense of urgency. Like if you're like an ice cream store and you're like, hey guys, we have a 50% off on the chocolate, screenshot this snap, come into the store now. And I was just like, that's amazing. Like on what other platform can you create that that sense of urgency to get people in a small time frame to just like come into your shop or to interact with your brand in another way? And we see like the success of it. That's why Facebook and Instagram are adapting that format as well, because it's just, it's something new. And I think that's what kind of defined them. So that's how I started, I guess, hacking into Snapchat.
I don't necessarily listen to Gary Vaynerchuk audio, but I do frequently read his content. So I could see how Gary would attract a lot of people to a social network like Snapchat. And that sense of a deadline, I mean, it's like 24 hours to view this post.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like the launch last day, but on steroids, because every single post is like that launch on the last day. But
yeah,
for people wondering, like on Twitter and Facebook, it could be more like post an article or something like that. But what should we be posting on Snapchat?
I think, I mean, obviously it depends if you're, you know, just an individual that's trying to grow your brand, or if you're an actual large company and what your capabilities are. But let's just pretend, you know, you're an entrepreneur, you're growing your business. You know, you're maybe by yourself, maybe have a little team, and you're just starting to build up in that. Then I think that make people part of your story, like allow them to connect with who you really are. So, you know, we've heard this all before, the behind the scenes of like what's going on, you're going to meetings, keeping people up to date. But then I would take that further and really like share from you, because I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with on social media. Like they're happy with showing the good stuff. They're happy with showing like, you know, all the positive sides of everything, but they're not actually going into kind of the struggles and like how they feel about it and what they're learning, you know, like let people in deep. And I think that that's how you create then a real community, and that's how they connect with you and they'll be with you in the trenches because they feel like they really know how, who you are. So I think be as transparent and as real as possible.
That is definitely spot on. Like if like Facebook, for instance, if you go there, you're only going to see people's good times. It's not going to be like you go on Facebook and the person saying, I just like lost X, Y, and Z, or like this horrible thing happens. I mean, it's a really interesting idea to talk about the weaknesses and the struggles and how can we get more vulnerable in a sense where we're able to talk about those.
Exactly. And so that's, you mean like how can someone from a personal perspective like feel more comfortable with being vulnerable?
Yes. And like sharing that with their audiences.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to surrender to the fact that you won't be comfortable. Like this is stepping out of your comfort zone. Like every time it's going to be a bit of a stretch. But if you're someone that is trying to push yourself and reach a next level and grow, then you're going to have to get used to stepping out of your comfort zone and just doing things that you might not want to do. And, but just realize how important it is. Like ask yourself, like, how would I feel if someone that I respect and cherish and that I'm following suddenly comes out with the real stuff, you know? Like, let me give you an example of one of my big learnings this year or this past year, I suppose. So one of my employees threatened me with a lawsuit, right? And so when that happens to you as an entrepreneur, it's just like, holy shit, like that really hits you hard because on the one hand, you've helped that person so much, like you've helped them grow. And then it also makes you feel kind of, you know, betrayed, ashamed. And that's like, that's a pretty heavy hit. But looking at it more deeply, I realized that my employee was completely right. Like he had all the right to everything that he was saying. And it was like a huge learning lesson for me. And then finally I paid him a settlement and we were able to like come to like, you know, a conclusion with everything and settle everything peacefully. But that was like a huge learning experience for me. But like, who would put that on social media, like update my Facebook site? It's like, oh, by the way, one of my employees just tried to sue me, you know, like no one's going to say that. And so you kind of have to push yourself a little bit to really say like, you know, what can we learn? Like, what can we all learn from being real? And if I give you like my real teachings, like not the teachings that I'm like comfortable with sharing because they make me look cool, but like, what about also like, my mistakes that I'm making, like where I wasn't right, you know, where I was in the wrong and I had to pay a big price to learn a lesson like that.
Wow. I mean, like, especially the employee point, like I have some employees who like, I can't imagine continuing without them. Like they help in so many ways. And like, as you continue to like, they kind of be like a they become family in a sense where like, so that's, things like that. I mean, that's obviously really hard to share the first time. I'm sure it gets easier with practice, but there's still a little feel to it. So thank you for giving us that idea of what it's like.
Yeah. And this is the first time I'm talking about it openly, you know, on social media or whatever. So here you go, feature real thing. We like to practice what we preach, right?
Yeah, that's big. And regarding Snapchat, I'd like to go back to the business side, and you help all these top businesses. And a big part of that is creating engagement, but also growing the audience. And I don't feel like Snapchat is conventional in the sense where like it's a different approach for growing the audience. It's not like there's a advanced like searching feature yet that you can find on a place like Twitter or Facebook or something else. So how do we grow our Snapchat audiences?
Absolutely. Great question. So first thing we have to realize is that, like you said, Snapchat is a closed room. So we have to go elsewhere in order to let people into that room. For example, creating a large following on other social networks and creating viral content on other social networks and funneling people into Snapchat. So if you create viral videos on Facebook, you would have your Snapchat handle there at the bottom, or you would have a call to action at the end saying, hey guys, add me on Snapchat. Like you'll be able to see exclusive content there, or be able to see me behind the scenes, or, you know, whatever it is that may be that you want to portray there. That's how you would bring in your following, right? And so what a lot of brands, of course, are doing as well is they're putting the snap code on their products, like, or in the way you get into an Uber, you're able to unlock a special Snapchat lens, you know, during your trip, things like that. So you have to play outside of the platform in order to bring people inside the platform. And that might sound difficult at first, but your advantage that you have of that is that everyone that comes into that room really wants to be there. This is why 54% of your followers on Snapchat actually view your content. And that's what makes it so valuable.
And it definitely does take, you're basically segmenting some of your top followers into Snapchat and identifying who they are. So I definitely see the value behind that. But I mean, that 24 hour, it does help the limit to create engagement. But in addition to like statistics already stated and how the platform's optimized, how can we get more engagement from our Snapchat audiences?
Really just ask them to engage. I think, like, I mean, that's a great question in general. Like, how do I get people to engage on my content full stop, right? And I think on the one hand, you can do the easy thing, which you'll see everywhere on Facebook and on Instagram saying, hey, tag a friend or comment below. Like, where are you from? Comment this emoji. Like, that's quite easy to get people to engage because they'll just do what you said, because there's something, I guess, like inherently in us as humans that if you give us a command, we'll just kind of do it, right? And so, like, that works. Then the other part is actually creating something that leaves such an impact on someone that they can't not react. And interestingly enough, a lot of the time, what we see drives most engagement is a debate, is when people actually disagree, when someone's just like, no, that's wrong. Like, this is, you know, like, in order to go viral, like, it's the truth of it is really is, like, you have to have opposing opinions. Like, you need to have haters, because then you'll have other people that believe in you, that are defending you. And it just starts this whole huge discussion. And that's how content spreads. Like in one of my videos, for example, that has 10 million views across Facebook, basically it's me where I strip down to my underwear and I have people draw hearts on my body for self-acceptance in New York. And, you know, it's a really beautiful video. It's a very emotional video. Like, people are hugging me and they're really like feeling and they're sharing their stories. But there's a lot of people that commented on that video that were saying, you know, that I'm a whore and that, you know, like, they can't believe like how indecent I am to like take my, you know, stand there in my underwear, all this kind of stuff. And so, like, you know, while that might be, I guess, annoying to some people and difficult to manage, but that kind of, you know, split between positive and negative is what makes something grow. So, you know, a little bit food for thought.
That is a very, I mean, it's not a video that you see a lot of people doing. Like, there are like so many blog posts about how to get more Twitter followers, how to get more on any social network, but being able to do something that not a lot of people are doing is a really great way to drive that engagement.
True, exactly, yeah. And so, you know, a lot of my clients ask me like, oh, how do we get featured in press? And, you know, how we want to be in the news, right? And so the short answer of that is you need to be newsworthy, right? Like, so many people just want to kind of have like a quick fix, but it's like, how about you do something that has like maximum impact that no one is doing, and that people will talk about it because you've suddenly given them a new thought that they've never had before. And that's what the news wants to cover, because they want to, because that's exactly what they sell, right? They sell new ideas. And so it's, I think for entrepreneurs and brands and businesses, it's really important just to think about like, how can we step out of the box? And if you are not, like, if you don't have the balls to, you know, go to Union Square and like strip down to your underwear in order to represent your brand, then, you know, maybe you shouldn't be in business.
Wow. I mean, I really love the idea of the news. Like, it's new ideas, which is exactly the point. But I feel like so many people forget about that. Like, I have a great story. It may be similar, but with like a different flavor. But that should be enough. I do find that really interesting.
Yeah.
I would like to transition to another part of Snapchat and like as we've mentioned, Snapchat's different from other social networks, and the fact that you have to lead them from your other places to Snapchat to create that high engagement. But there are also unique parts of Snapchat that serve as a really significant advantage compared to other social networks. Like geo filters are one of the common ones. Yeah. I see them like over and over and over again. It's like they're creating new ones for like individual streets. Like they're creating so many. But how can we use geo filters in our messaging? But what do you believe are also some of the other features we're missing out on?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll start with the geo filters. So they're like a personal favorite of mine. Like I have some articles that I published about awesome results that we've been able to achieve. For example, we got 11 million impressions on a $6 geo filter at New York Fashion Week. And so, you know, if you like want to look at ROI, like there's something there. And so I think there's so much that you could do with using geo filters like at events. Like we did a geo filter for Maybelline New York at a Justin Bieber concert. And that's like the perfect fit, right? You have a teenage audience for, you know, a makeup brand where it's, you know, targeted mainly females. And so like it was a really good match. And the geo filter to put it up in the at the O2 arena, which seats 20,000 people in London, cost us $35. And so if you think about how much would it cost Maybelline New York to sponsor a Justin Bieber concert versus putting up a geo filter, which more people will use and notice anyways, because they're actually using their phones and they're snapping the concert, than, you know, putting up banners somewhere. And like, imagine them being able to sponsor the concert for $35. Like that's just, that's ridiculous. You know, like that's like unheard
of. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's for me, it's like fascinating that not more companies are getting onto this and using the geo filters at premieres and really being strategic about this to gain awareness. Because I mean, if you think about the marketing budgets of, you know, the Fortune 500s, like if they're able to invest this actually into a geo filter strategy, like basically you can have a company just of creating geo filters. So yeah, so that would be in the geo filter point. And I guess the other options in terms of marketing on Snapchat. So the obviously one is so creating ads in between stories. So the mid-roll. At the beginning, Snapchat didn't really see a lot of good conversions with that happening because people were adverse to watching ads and they didn't want it. But it's just like anything else. People get used to it. Like people, at first we complain about new changes and then we're like, well, I guess it's there, you know, whatever. So then your emotional field just kind of neutralizes towards it. And what we're seeing now is that the conversions are amazing on mid-roll ads. They've also lowered the prices, which makes it a lot more accessible for small brands. And companies are getting a lot smarter with creating advertising on Snapchat because they're realizing that they shouldn't be so salesy and they shouldn't roll an ad, but they should roll a snap, like something that actually looks like a Snapchat that they could be watching. And then they will swipe up and go to the store. Another one is the face filter lenses, which, for example, just to give you an idea of pricing. So to get a face filter lens in London, it would be around like $90,000 for 24 hours, which basically, you know, a lot of the movies are using. So, you know, for a new Harry Potter film or Fantastic Beasts, like it would put like give you a wand and the face or whatever, you know, something fun. But what that does, like if you think about it from like a marketing perspective, is you're actually you're identifying yourself with the brand and putting it on your face, which I think is like, I mean, where else can you do that? Like what other platform can you wear a brand on your face? And you know, you obviously it's like trying on a dress, you know? So I think that's a very powerful concept as well.
Wow. That's like so many, the ideas are like flowing in my head right now. I mean, it's amazing, but, the geo filters, I'd like to go back to that because,
yeah,
I mean, you're able, like just for $35 getting the type of exposure people would
correct
in one heartbeat pay like thousands of dollars for.
Exactly.
And, do you see you're not able to, let's say like get the sales right away, but it's building that brand recognition, like a highly targeted TV commercials. If like it was put in front of every possible ideal person, is that the case with geo filters?
Very similar. So there's a really good Gatorade case study at the Super Bowl, where, for example, like a Super Bowl commercial will cost you anywhere between $2.5 and $5 million to, you know, air your 30-second commercial at the Super Bowl. Whereas what Gatorade did was a bit smarter. They took out a Snapchat lens where they created, it was like $500,000 for the lens at the Super Bowl, and they got more impressions. They got like 160 million impressions on the lens, which is more people than watch the Super Bowl, right? And so similarly, you can also, if you're a sporting company, like put up your geo filters at sporting events, you know, if it's baseball or basketball, whatever it may be. So it's all expansive. And like I said, low barrier to entry. Like, yeah, if it is only brand building, and not going directly into your sales, you're never going to pay less money to brand build at that kind of an extent.
And for people who are like me and like are really excited about geo filters, how easy is it to create one?
Oh my God, literally like 5 seconds. Like you can, I think I have it. I can see. So what I can also offer you is literally just send me a message. Like anyone that's listening to this, send me a message with the word Snapchat on like LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. And I will send you an ebook that I wrote on Snapchat where you can see everything about like geo filters and like how you create them and everything. Like I'll give it to you like as a complimentary guide to this, to this podcast. But literally you can go on Canva. It's super easy. It's free. Whatever you can be creative with this. I put a geo filter at the premiere of the Beauty and the Beast movie in New York, just because I like felt like it because I like the movie, you know? And so, you know, it's literally very easy to make it on Canva. And then you go on geofilters.snapchat.com and you upload it. Like the whole thing takes you like 15 minutes.
So when you say it cost you $35 for that geo filter, that was like you delegated that to someone and it could technically be for free?
What do you mean?
For the concert.
Oh, no. So you have to pay Snapchat to put up the geo filter. So that's like literally the Snapchat, fee. Of course, like if we were doing this for a client, you know, we would charge for our time to creating the design, et cetera. Like, you know, there would be, it would definitely be a lot more, but you know, for us doing it, you know, we still don't charge our clients very much because it's still like a quite the cheap solution. So our geo filters range from anywhere between $350 to a couple of thousand, depending on the time, because that might just be for a few hours, but they might want a geo filter up in front of their store for a whole year, or they might, you know, want it at specific events. Like what we'll do is like, we'll create like geo filter packages for our clients where they get, let's say like 100 geo filters, like a certain amount of time in certain amount of areas. And then we'll go out and create like a large scale campaign.
And with the geo filters, like, I never really saw the business potential in them. I just saw like creating a more engaging post, but not really using them from the business standpoint. Mm-hmm. How does Snapchat determine like how much you pay? Is it by impression or something else?
No, that's the great thing about it. It's by space. So let's say I were to create a geo filter around your house right now, you know, there would be a certain like square foot that I would pay. And obviously it depends on the location. So like the Super Bowl, Snapchat knows that's like a, you know, very expensive place. Like, for example, we had the European Soccer Championship here last year. It was in the UK. And so we created a geo filter for one of our clients, which is a soccer app. And so, you know, obviously Snapchat knew that that location, an event was happening. So all the other days, the prices were quite low, but for like the final match, it was really high prices. So the geo filter cost us like $1,000, to create, which is still,
that's
really
still not a lot
low.
At all.
Exactly. It's like really low. If you imagine like the like soccer championship final and your soccer app, I mean, you know, what else do you want?
Wow. It's amazing what that geo filter can do. And like, I knew none of this going into the interview. Like, it's just amazing. All the potential. I feel Snapchat is definitely one of those. I feel like we have not tapped into it fully. And that's definitely an advantage for people like you who are tapping into it and getting these incredible returns.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Snapchat is definitely a unicorn. And because there's such a high barrier to entry, it makes it that it just creates the quality of the interactions where now it's so easy to, like, you know, put bots on the on Instagram and on Facebook and to buy engagement. Like on Facebook, you could buy anything. You just boost your post, you know.
Yeah.
But like, what is the quality of those engagements? Like, I see clients coming to me all the time and they show me posts and they're like, yeah, we paid $15,000 for it. And I just look at it and I cringe because I look at the actual analytics and I'm just like, dude, you paid 15 grand for this video and only, and 95% of the people only watch 10 seconds of this 2-minute video. Basically, you just, you know, paid for nothing because no one's actually watching the content. And they were like, oh, I didn't even look at that. Like, I didn't even know to look at that. I didn't even know that those statistics were there. And it's just because, you know, these platforms have such easy methods for companies to boost on them that they're just, you know, they're just throwing money out of the window, basically, and just going with what's easy. And with Snapchat, it's, you know, like you're saying, like, oh, how easy is it to create a geofilter? Because you actually have to learn how to do it. And, you know, it'll take you maybe 15 minutes or a half an hour to learn the first time. But once you know, you're saving a lot of money and having high impact.
And that's something that a lot of people are not thinking of right away also.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I love it. Like, this is like, you know, I'm living my dream. Like, I'm having so much fun with this. And I love, like, and right now I'm going to travel to Germany to speak at one of their TV channels, like national TV channels on Snapchat, because they have their own shows and everything, you know, because I launched BBC's channel. And so I work a lot with broadcasting companies who are also looking at launching their first channels. And it's just so fun to see their success. And like Spiegel Online, which is basically the Forbes of Germany, I was speaking to their head of Snapchat, and he said to me that their Snapchat Discover was the most successful product launch in their company's history. And they're one of the most kind of, you know, well sought out, like respected publishers in all of Germany. And so, you know, if they're saying that they're having so much impact with it, we can see like it's really worthwhile.
It's amazing how all the knowledge you have on Snapchat and all of the clients you've been able to help. I mean, BBC, the Germany version of Forbes, like so many people you've been able to help. And I feel like the reason why people ask for help and the reason they set goals is because they want to reach their full potential. And with that in mind, I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
I think it's just, you know, there's so many things that I could tell you about, like motivation and everything, but it comes down to something very simply. And it's that the system that we've grown up in is trying to make people complacent to working, you know, that a very simple structure, right? Creating that 9-to-5, like we are very much still in that machine age where we want people to be complacent. So it's not your fault. Like you have been trained since childhood, like rinse and repeat, do your schoolwork, do this, and don't dream too big. Don't even dare to think that you could create something that's different and that you can add value and that you can, you know, fly to the moon, right? Like don't do that. So you've been taught your entire life to not push, to not be driven and not dream. And so as soon as you realize that that's not coming from you, that all the fear is just built up from other people's fear that they have given you and you've now inherited it, then you realize that you're free and that the only one holding themselves back now is you because you still have all these wrong ideas in your mind. So once you can let go of that and just focus on like what you inherently know is true and what you can achieve, then you're going to fly.
And I definitely, I mean, it's makes a lot of sense. That's definitely a big reason people get held back. A lot of fear comes back to it, and other people's fears as they get implanted into you definitely hold a lot of people back from achieving their full potential. And how would you advise cracking out of that?
Like surround yourself with different people, you know, like as funny as that sounds, but you know, like
Makes sense.
And Mark both know, like with our network, with our influence, you know, with the other entrepreneurs that we hang out with, like they are all also dreamers. Like they will push you, like they will tell you, you know, they will, you need like buddies that hold you to your ideas and are just like, oh, when are you going to do that? When is that finished? What's the timeline? You know, help you project manage that. And so the more people you surround yourself with that, that see like the universe as, you know, the closest thing ever, and the, you know, the sky is definitely not even the limit, the more then you'll start being in that mindset and starting. I think that's one of the most important things. Like, don't be afraid of failure, because we're all going to fall on our faces, like, no matter what you do. But as soon as you start, like, somewhere and putting yourself out there and pushing yourself and being vulnerable, you're going to see growth.
And that's one of the reasons I really love hosting the Breakthrough Success podcast, because with over 100 episodes, I mean, that's a lot of people who I've been able to hear all their advice from. It definitely helps me to challenge myself to pursue bigger goals. So that's why I'm very appreciative of everyone, especially you as well, who spends this time sharing with all of us your insights.
My absolute pleasure. I think that if we don't create a community and we don't connect with each other and take the time to reach out, I mean, for me, like, what is the impact of my life going to be if I don't reach out to other people that were in the same situation as I was? You know, like, there's people right now that are geniuses, that are going to change the game, that are going to, you know, create a new cryptocurrency or start their own marketing agency or create art that inspires the world and you know, helps climate change, right? And so I want to be able to speak to those people and give them the support and what they need in order to start living the life that they deserve.
I am grateful for, these are some really great insights you've offered. And I'd like to transition now to one of the questions that I enjoy asking. I'm a true bookworm. I don't know if you're diving into books as much as I do, but I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe would help make a positive impact on our lives.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm sure you got a lot of sort of like business book recommendations on the podcast so far. You know, everything probably like from Gary Vee and all the other thought leaders. But I'm going to maybe leave you with some books that are more kind of for the soul. Because I think it's really important that, other than, you know, everything that we're doing on a day-to-day in business, having the right strategies, if we don't have the right mindset, then we're not going to be able to grow. So I would say The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. Then I would say The Surrender Experiment by Michael A. Singer. He's basically a billionaire who talks about like how he created his, you know, his empire, so to say. Through just surrendering. And then Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Virginia, thank you for those three great book recommendations. Breakthrough Success listeners, you can see all those links and the show notes at markbirdie.com/E108. And before we close, I would like to flip the tables a little bit. So Virginia, I've asked you a lot of questions throughout this episode. And with that in mind, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
How do I define my success? Because it's, you know, it's quite easy to get lost in creation and being an entrepreneur and pushing yourself to the next degree. So what does that look like when you do succeed? What does that mean to you? So how do I define success?
Virginia, I absolutely love that question. And that question is going to change as we continue to go on our journeys. But it's a question that we always need to keep in mind, Breakthrough Success listeners. And I mean, it's amazing all the knowledge that Virginia has on Snapchat and all the great insights she was happy to share us. And if you want to learn more about her, see her content on the web, you can head over to genie.tv. That is G-I-N-I.tv. You can check out her content there, see her vlog, and don't forget to connect with her on LinkedIn. Just search her name. She'll come up, connect with her, and message her, ask her for that free ebook so that you can take your Snapchat to the next level. And you'll also be able to take some of your other social networks to the next level, because Virginia's got a lot of awesome content that is going to help you throughout your journey. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be a guest on the show.
My pleasure. Keep on being amazing and inspiring the world, because we need you.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberti.com/retweet.